to go for a run, I'm gonna do this.
Hare Krishna, everyone. Welcome to the Sunday Feast program. I'd like to see a show of hands who all are kind of relatively new here, even though you may not be for the first time. Don't be shy. You're not new for sure. Okay, I'm going to be speaking to you, okay, so don't leave the room. I'm going to ignore all the old timers, although they will get something from it too. Okay, so today's topic, as you can see, is like no other. Sounds like a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek title, but it's not, believe me. There's millions of books in the Library of Congress, but there's no book like the Srimad Bhagavatam. You can see them displayed over here. It's a series of 18 volumes, 12 cantos, beautiful, beautiful literature. And we're going to talk about what makes the Srimad Bhagavatam such a great work of literature on many levels. Why our claim that Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest piece of literature? How can it be substantiated? So almost everyone perhaps knows about the Bhagavatam. Who doesn't know about the Bhagavatam? Raise your hands. Those who are relatively new may not know about what is the Bhagavatam. Everybody knows? Okay. Nobody's raising their hands at least. All right. If everybody knows of the Bhagavatam, then you should just teach to others. There was once a saint who visited a village and he was asked to speak about God. And he asked people, who knows about God? And nobody raised their hand. So then he said, well, if nobody knows anything about God, why should I even bother talking to you about God? And he just left. So then somehow they pleaded him to come back again. And they pleaded him to come back again. This time he again asked the question, who knows about God? And this time everybody raised their hand. And then he said, well, if everybody knows about God, why should I speak? So then he leaves again. And then they make him come back again. And then he asked the same question again, who knows about God? So this time, 50% of the people decide to raise their hand. And then he says, okay, those who know about God, speak to those who don't know about God and convince them about God. So I was asking you who knows about Srimad Bhagavatam or who doesn't know about Srimad Bhagavatam. Nobody raised their hands for both the questions. So I'm not sure right now, but we'll go through it anyway. So normally we start with a little song, but today I'm going to just do some verses from Krishna Leela Stava by Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami is an amazing, amazing saintly personality. On the altar, on the left altar, just in the middle pillar area, you see a picture frame with six personalities. And these personalities are the disciples, direct disciples of Lord Chaitanya. And one of them is Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami, he knew the Bhagavatam in and out. He wrote a commentary on every verse of the Bhagavatam called Vaishnava Toshini. And he composed these beautiful prayers in glorification of Bhagavatam. He's going to express in these prayers what Bhagavatam actually means for him. Okay? You can follow along if you're able to. Oh, I have to remember to advance because this is not connected to... All right, here we go. Okay, here we go. Sarva Shastra Bipiyusha Ekasatfala Sarva Siddhantaratnadhyā Sarva Lokaikadrik Prada Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu Kali Dvantodita Ditya Shri Krishna Parivartita. So what's he saying here? He's saying, O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar churned from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures. So the Vedic scriptures are really vast, they're like an ocean, and Srimad Bhagavatam is actually the nectar churned from all of these scriptures. O most prominent transcendental, this doesn't advance like I want it to. O most prominent transcendental fruit of all the Vedas. O you who are enriched with the jewels of all spiritual, philosophic, it's not working. Okay. I guess it's working when I press it twice. So, okay. O you who are enriched with the jewels of all spiritual, philosophical conclusions. O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world. We're seeing something right now in this world, right? We can see something. But what we are seeing right now is something just very external. But Srimad Bhagavatam can cure our vision and help us see things as they are. And how does it help see things as they are? It's not that we have to cure our eyes in some way. We cure our eyes by hearing the Bhagavatam. By hearing the Bhagavatam, we can actually get spiritual vision. O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees. It's very, very dear to all the devotees of the Lord. O Lord, you are the sun which has arisen to dispel the darkness of the Kali Yuga. So we're living in somewhat of a dark age right now. You can see that everybody's character, qualities, they're going down in general. People's value systems are going down. And Srimad Bhagavatam can dispel the darkness of this age. You're actually Lord Krishna who's returned among us. So Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything that one can get from Krishna, one can actually get from these beautiful books, Srimad Bhagavatam, because it's the direct representation of Lord Krishna. Whatever boons you can get from Krishna, you can actually get from Srimad Bhagavatam. Anything that you want, you can get. But what is the highest thing that Srimad Bhagavatam can give? We don't want just material boons. The highest thing that Srimad Bhagavatam can give is actually unalloyed devotion, unalloyed pure devotion to the Lord. Okay. Paramananda Pathaya Prema Vashaksharayate Sarvada Sarva Sevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostute. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer respectful obeisances unto you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss, for your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. Can you imagine? Just by reading a book, pure love is showering, you know, with every word that you read, love is showering over you. You're always to be served by everyone. For you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. Mat eka bandho mat sangin, mat guru man mahadhana, man nishtaraka mat bhagya, mad ananda namostute. So here, Sanatan Goswami is saying, the Srimad Bhagavatam, he's addressing as his only friend, his only companion, oh my teacher, oh my great wealth. It's not that Sanatan Goswami lacked you know, in friends. He had so many friends. He was so loved by the entire, you know, village, by all the devotees. He was loved so much. But yet, he considered Srimad Bhagavatam to be the best friend of all friends. In fact, he was so dear to everyone in the village and all around, to all the devotees, that when Sanatana Goswami left his body, you know, when a father leaves the body in that culture, you know, one shaves their head. So the whole village had shaved their head because he was just so dear. They considered him to be like their own father. And, oh my teacher, so Bhagavatam is the kind of guru who's always teaching, but then teaching in such a gentle manner. Oh my great wealth, is the kind of wealth that nobody can steal. Oh my deliverer, oh my good fortune, oh my bliss, I offer respectful obeisances unto you. Asadu sadu tadayin ati nicho chatakara hanamuncha kadachin mam prema hrit kantayo spura. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter, sorry. Okay. Do I have to point it? Okay, maybe. O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please do not ever leave me. Please become manifested upon my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of God. So such a wonderful literature that even one has no saintly qualities, it can turn one into a saint. So Bhagavatam has unlimited glories. In fact, it's really my only hope. It has been my only hope. I've been through many difficult situations in my life, but Bhagavatam has kept me hopeful throughout my life. So I feel that it's bestowing this saintliness little by little, you know, even to the most unsaintly person. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's on the altar here, on the left altar, the figure on the right side, if someone doesn't know. He is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's a form of Krishna who appeared about 500 plus years ago. And he said that always discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, chant the holy name of Lord Krishna, and in this way you'll be able to attain liberation very easily and you'll be elevated to the enjoyment of love of Godhead. So this is the benediction that Bhagavatam can give, and the Supreme Lord himself is asking us to chant the holy name and to always read the Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya seated there, he talks about Bhagavatam as being all light, all bliss, all perfection. So God is all light, all bliss, all perfection, and Bhagavatam is also all of those things. And in fact, when Srila Prabhupada came to this country, he came on a cargo ship. He didn't have much with him. All he had was just few rupees, 40 rupees, which was equal to about $7 at that time. And he had a little trunk with some volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he had a typewriter. And his hope, so his spiritual master had given him the order to take this message to the Western countries. And his hope was really in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there you see his little trunk coming down from the ship. That was the only thing, that little, you know, briefcase that he came with. And when he got down at the Boston Harbor, he was looking around. He was looking at the quality of people. And he was seeing that, you know, how am I going to really make these people God conscious or Krishna conscious? You know, people's habits, their character are just, you know, just not very nice. And again, where did he take shelter? He took shelter in the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he said, the words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. He's offering this prayer to the Lord. And if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he'll be able to understand your message. So his hope was really that Bhagavatam can somehow impact the lives and hearts of people. So Srimad Bhagavatam is like the brilliant sun giving light to the world in Kali Yuga. There is a beautiful verse actually in the Bhagavatam which describes this. When Krishna had left this world, when he departed from this world, he also the dharma, the religion and knowledge and everything left along with him. But then the Bhagavatam actually came. And this Bhagavatam, okay, it's a little confusing to click two things. So this Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So we're saying all these wonderful things about this beautiful literature, but is there some evidence for why Srimad Bhagavatam is this highest form of literature? So there's another Goswami named Jiva Goswami, who's also one of those six in that photo frame you see over there. And Prabhupada, he said that there would be no scholar like him in the future, and that there was no scholar like him even in the past. He's just so brilliant, so scholarly, prolific. He would write these amazing literatures, so much so that some of the literatures that he wrote were so elevated and so esoteric that some of his literatures he said to just bury them, because he knew that nobody in this current age is actually able to, they won't be able to understand them. So he knew the Srimad Bhagavatam in and out. It's described that, this is a common phrase or the way of description in the Vedic scriptures, that he knew the Bhagavatam like one would hold a walnut in their hand. So if you hold a walnut in your hand, you know every groove of the walnut, you understand every aspect of it. So he understood Bhagavatam so, so thoroughly. In fact, he, based on the Bhagavatam, he wrote some further books categorizing, based on the different topics of the Bhagavatam called the Sandarbhas. And one of the devotees in our movement named Radhika Raman, he's very scholarly, and he just took one portion of one of these books and he did his whole PhD. So you can imagine how rich, this literature is. And he's a very respected scholar and author and editor and so on in our movement. So one of the Sandarbhas he wrote is called Tattva Sandarbha. So just for about 5 to 7 minutes, a little bit of philosophy, so bear with me. Okay, I hope I won't put anybody to sleep. And I'm just making it really easy. Okay, so in this, there's a section called Pramana Kanda. Okay, so in Sanskrit, prama means valid knowledge. And pramana means basically the reliable means of acquiring knowledge or ascertaining facts. So true knowledge is basically knowledge that creates no contradiction, within our hearts. It should be so convincing, right? It's a perception it should bring about that really agrees with the reality that we're seeing. So in Pramana Kanda, just from text 9 to 18, so it's just about 9 verses, right? In just 9 verses, he establishes how Srimad Bhagavatam is the supremely authoritative source of knowledge. And how does he do that? So first of all, in about 3 verses, he establishes that Vedic literatures are the best evidence for acquiring knowledge. So there's different kinds of pramanas. Pramanas means how we acquire knowledge. What is the evidence, right? 3 kinds of evidence. So many of you perhaps may have heard about it. Some of you may have not heard about it. But one is called pratyaksha praman. Pratyaksha praman means direct sense perception. So whatever we see with our senses, we feel, or we hear, we touch, and so on, this is direct sense perception. And then there is Anuman Praman, which is theories based on evidence. It's analytical understanding. So you've seen something with your senses or heard something and so on, and then you hypothesize, you know, further. So it's analytical understanding. And then there is Shabda Praman. That's hearing from a bona fide authority. So I want to show you very quickly, you know, we could go into great lengths of discussion about this, but why this first two ways of acquiring knowledge is defective. It doesn't give us the, you know, full knowledge. Why? Because the conditioned souls, which is all of us, you know, we have four defects. We have imperfect senses, right? We have imperfect senses. We can't see everything, you know, sometimes. You know, a dog or something could hear some different frequencies than what we can hear. We have tendency to commit mistakes. We have a cheating propensity. And we have a tendency to be illusioned. Okay, sometimes... Would you mind doing this for me? Now it's just stuck. Okay. Maybe you can manually do it over there? Manually advance the slides? Okay. So there's cheating propensity and tendency to be illusion, okay? And this picture here is a very quick depiction. So there's, you know, five men here or six men here who are blindfolded, and they're trying to touch and feel the different parts of an elephant. And one is saying they're touching the ear and saying it's a fan. One is, you know, touching the body of the elephant and saying it's a wall, one, you know, with this, the tail of the elephant, it's a rope, and so on. So here is a presentation of both the sense perception as well as analytical understanding. So they're touching, which is their sense perception, and they are trying to analyze based on what it feels like. You know, they've, you know, touched it, but touched something like that before. It feels like a wall, it feels like a rope, or it feels like a snake, and so on. So you can see that it's not perfect. It's defective, right? So how do you discover something like our Supreme Lord? How do you discover that which lies beyond our immediate perception? So simple example given in the scriptures is if a child wants to know who is their father, you know, there's many different methods perhaps. You can test the DNA of all the men, but that would be very, very difficult. But if the mother just said, this is your father, then it's just very easy. So Shabda Praman, or hearing from authority, means that, you know, you want to know something, just go to the authority. Don't just use your senses or just analyze, you know, based on your limited understanding. So if you want to know, you know, advance please, next slide. So if you want to know what are the programs on next, okay, on CNN or Fox News, you would just refer to the guide. You know, you're not just going to just ask someone out there, you know, what do you think, right? So in that way, next, I have to keep saying next now. So you can see that Pratyaksha Praman and Anuman Praman are defective, and Shabda Praman, hearing from the authority, is something very bona fide, and it's always going to produce the right result, right? So after analyzing all the sources of knowledge, Jiva Goswami says that we find no other source but the Vedas or the Vedic literatures which afford us with the opportunity for achieving this objective. So trying to find, you know, how can we find the Supreme Lord, right? So why does he say that? He says, he uses this word, apaurusheya shabda. So why means because the Vedas alone, they have no human author, right? And their compiler is an avatar or incarnation of Krishna. So because they don't have a human author, therefore there are not these four defects that we talked about. Only humans, the conditioned souls, they have these four defects. So this Vedas have been compiled by the Lord himself. So there's a large body of Vedic literature. In the next slide, keep advancing, please. Next, yeah. So we're not going to go through this whole chart, but just to show you that there's a large body of Vedic literatures. There is something like 4,520 titles total. So then Jiva Goswami shows that it's actually impossible for anyone to study all the Vedas in completeness. Right? First of all, in this current day and age, we have very short lives. But even if we had the capacity to study them, all the Vedic literatures are not available right now. Only about 6% of all the Vedic literatures are available. So by the influence of time, the texts have been lost or stolen or destroyed. You know, the soldiers of Alexander the Great, he used some of the scriptures as fuel in the kitchens, unfortunately. You know, the Muslims destroyed them whenever possible. The Britons carried many scriptures with them. The Germans and Russians took away some scriptures, you know, particularly the Dhanurveda, which talks about military science, right? So Jiva Goswami says that there's only 6% of the entire body of Vedic literatures available. So can you understand the conclusion of something if you only have 6% of that book available? You can't, right? You just have 6% of a particular book. You can't understand the conclusion of it. Also, the Vedic literature, their meaning is very, very difficult to construe. And even the sages who explain them in commentaries sometimes, they disagree between one another. So Jiva Goswami says that, okay, so then Puranas, they're also Vedic. And so he establishes then that the Puranas present the full meaning of the Vedas. And they're largely available in their fullness. And out of all the Puranas, then he establishes that Srimad Bhagavatam is the best. So just, next slide, please. So then he shows that why Srimad Bhagavatam is the best literature. Because it fits the definition of a Purana in the mode of goodness. Amala Purana means that it's spotless, it's completely transcendental, not touched by anything of this material world. It has a Parashaya authority, that means no human origin. It contains all the essential ideas of all the Vedas. It's in fact described to be the fruit of all the Vedic literature. And it's a natural commentary of the Vedanta Sutra. So Vedanta Sutra is the essence of all the Vedas. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the commentary on this essence of all the Vedas. And it's currently available in full on the earth. So one might say this is like circular reasoning, right? Circular reasoning argument. So he goes into description of this whole thing, and I'm not going to go into all the details because I know I'll lose all of you. But just very quickly, what he's saying is that owing to the absence of any conclusive proof of the Vedas being authored by a mortal being and by the logic known as the law of remainder, and also based on what the previous teachers have said, and ultimately by accepting the testimony of the Vedas themselves, then he proves that Srimad Bhagavatam is this topmost literature. Okay, so what is Srimad Bhagavatam? So now it's story time, okay? No more philosophy. So what is Srimad Bhagavatam? To understand this, we have to go back, way back in time, millions and millions and millions of years ago, before creation started, before the universe was created. So there was the first being you can see here. This is Lord Brahma. He is the secondary creator. Krishna is the primary creator, but Brahma helps, you know, the subsequent creation, and he's sitting on a lotus here. So that's a whole story. I won't go into it. You may say that firstborn living being appears on the top of a lotus. That's very interesting. you know, is this just like mythology? What is going on here? But actually, we're very tiny. We understand very little. You know, we're just like an ant. You know, if the ants were told that human beings are born from the womb, you know, they'll say, come on, get out of here. You know, we just lay eggs. So Brahma is, you know, so this lotus stem is appearing from the navel of the Lord, and from this lotus stem there's a lotus flower, and then there's the firstborn living being, and he's the creator. And when he was created, it was all dark. There was no other living being that time. And he was wondering, what is the purpose? What is my purpose of creation? What am I supposed to do here? Right, who am I? Where have I come from? He tried to go back down, you know, to the, he held the stem of the lotus and he tried to go back down, but he couldn't reach the other end. And then he just realized that he's very, very limited. He can't actually figure this out on his own. So then he started praying, and then he heard these two words, just a celestial voice. He heard these two words, tapa, tapa. Tapa, tapa means like, do penance, do some austerities. And so then he does austerities, you know, for how long? 1,000 celestial years. You know, one celestial year is equal to, I can't even say this number, but it's, 1,000 celestial years is 2.26 billion years, okay? Very, very long. And he did penances for this long. And then what happened? Krishna appeared. Krishna appeared and he gave him Bhagavatam. Okay? So this is a beautiful verse that describes how Krishna first revealed the Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma in full. But when he taught the Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma in full, it was in a very, like a zip file, you know, just four verses. But Brahma was so intelligent, he could understand just from that. So Brahma is the creator. So from these four verses, he got this complete understanding of how to create. He got all the empowerment, and then he created all the universes. Not the universes, I'm sorry. He created everything within this universe. So then, what happens after that? So Srimad Bhagavatam is actually the literary incarnation of God. And then it was compiled later by a personality named Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is also considered the literary incarnation of God, and he actually wrote down the whole Bhagavatam for us. He compiled it. And it is meant for the ultimate good of all people. It's all successful, blissful, and all perfect. So why did Vyasadeva compile this? He compiled it for everyone's benefit. So again, this chart that I showed you before, it's Vyasadeva who compiled all the Vedic literatures, right, for the benefit of people. But after compiling all this Vedic literature, 4,520 titles, it's a monumental work. Can you imagine? Just to write an essay, it takes me so long. But can you imagine writing 4,520 titles of books? And after doing all this, under just strict discipline and vows and just really just with out of compassion for everyone, he was not feeling satisfied after doing all this. So he was thinking, what is going on? You know, I followed all the strict disciplinary vows, I worshiped my spiritual master, I did everything. And I wrote this just so that everybody can benefit, but still I'm not satisfied. So what is going on? So then, as he was thinking like that, his spiritual master, whom you see in the corner up there, his name is Narada. Narada came. And Narada came and instructed Vyasa. He asked his spiritual master, why is it that I'm not feeling satisfied, even though I wrote all this literature just for the benefit of everyone, so that everyone can become completely God conscious. So, you know what Narada says? He says that, you know, you have not actually broadcast, you didn't write about the glories of the Lord in a very direct way. Yes, you wrote all the Vedic literatures. That's wonderful. But in this Vedic literature, you only described about the Lord in somewhat of an indirect way, because Vyasadeva wanted everyone to benefit. So even if somebody is just very materially attached, you know, they just wanted their desires in this world to be fulfilled, he wanted all of them to be elevated in some way. So he made this literature very broad. So he didn't directly talk about God, you know, the direct glories of God. So that's why Narada said, you're not feeling satisfied. So now you should write a scripture that directly glorifies God. And for this, you need to meditate. And you need to, you know, really go into samadhi through this meditation. So just very deep state of meditation. So then, what does Vyasadeva do? Then he actually fixes his mind on the Lord by the process of devotion, the process of bhakti, and he didn't have even a tinge of any material desire in his heart, and he fixes himself in meditation. And he goes into a trance, and in this trance, he actually sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He sees the Supreme Personality of God in him. He sees all the energies of the Lord also. He sees all the spiritual energy, and he sees also the material energy. And he sees that the material energy is behind the Lord, taking shelter of the Lord. And then he also sees that this external energy or the material energy, you know, although the living entity has nothing to do with the spiritual energy. We living entities were completely spiritual. And we have nothing to do with the material energy. But because of our identification with this material energy, you know, we are thinking that we are matter, right? We are thinking that we are the body. We are thinking that we are the mind. And we are experiencing so many miseries. So it's simply because of our identification that we are experiencing all these miseries. And then he also sees in this vision that all these material miseries, they're completely external to the living entity. They have nothing to do with the living entity. And he sees also the solution for how to mitigate these material miseries. And what is the solution? The solution is the process of devotional service. But then he understood that people in general don't know about this process of devotional service. So then he writes this whole Srimad Bhagavatam, this Vedic literature, which is describing very directly the glories of the Lord. And simply by actually giving oral reception to this literature, simply by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, even if we don't have any devotion in our heart, this loving devotion can actually awaken within our heart. And at once, it can free us from all lamentation, all illusion, all fearfulness, and so on. So here is Vyasadeva, right, who had so much compassion for all the living entities. And after compiling all this literature, he was not satisfied. But after writing Srimad Bhagavatam, he was completely satisfied. And of course, you know, it's benefiting all the living entities also. And then after that, Vyasadeva, he wanted to share this wonderful literature with his son, Sukadeva Goswami. So it's passing on now from through the disciplic succession. So he wanted to share it with his son, Sukadeva Goswami. And in this picture, you can see that there's a lady who's pregnant. So this is Sukadeva Goswami in the womb of Vyasadeva's wife. And Sukadeva Goswami actually stays in the womb for 16 long years. He doesn't come out of the womb. Wow, just imagine, poor lady. 16 long years. And, you know, Vyasadeva was talking to this child within the womb, come out, come out. And he says, I don't want to come out because it's all illusion outside. I'm just fine here, right? So then... Sukadeva Goswami says, don't worry, Vyasadeva says, don't worry, you will not be affected by illusion, I guarantee you. And he says, why are you saying this to me? Your wife told you to tell me this? So he wouldn't come out. So then Vyasadeva asks him, who do you trust? He says, I trust Krishna. So Vyasadeva then goes and invites the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, to come and talk to Sukadeva Goswami in the womb. And then Krishna comes and talks to Sukadeva and he says, don't worry, everything will be all right. You know, the illusory energy is not going to touch you. So then Sukadeva Goswami comes out of the womb finally, and as soon as he comes out, he just says bye-bye, he just leaves. He just leaves right away. He just doesn't stay for a moment because he was completely fixed, right? He was a liberated soul and he didn't want to be affected by anything material. So he just leaves right away. So Vyasadeva was thinking, how can I teach this most beautiful literature to my son? So then he sends two of his disciples to the forest and he says, chant some, you know, in the forest there's some demons, you know, so just, you know, when you see the demons, just chant, keep chanting these verses from the Bhagavatam. So he goes to the forest and the disciples go to the forest and they're just chanting these verses. And Sukadeva Goswami, who could not be moved by anything material, right, he hears these verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam and he says, wow, you know, what are these verses? Where are they from? You know, can you tell me more of these verses? So he couldn't be moved by anything material. But right away, as soon as he heard these beautiful verses from the Bhagavatam, his heart just completely moves. So then he comes back, he's brought back to Vyasadeva. And here in this blue person here, that is Sukadeva Goswami. And Vyasadeva is sitting on the elevated seat there and he speaks the whole Srimad Bhagavatam to Sukadeva Goswami. And then later, Sukadeva Goswami speaks Srimad Bhagavatam to another wonderful personality, Maharaj Parikshit. Parikshit was the emperor of the whole universe, actually, the whole world, maybe not universe, the whole world. And He was such an amazing king, right? So one day he was just going out. He wanted to make sure that everything is going on fine in his kingdom. And then he's feeling very thirsty, and so he enters the hermitage of one sage. And the sage, he's absorbed in trance. So the sage actually doesn't receive him. He doesn't, you know, offer him a seat or just say welcome or anything, you know, because the king, he's the emperor of the whole world. So then Maharaj Parikshit, quite out of character, he feels insulted. And so he just puts a garland of a dead snake on the sage. And although the sage doesn't take any offense, when he comes out of the trance, he just takes out the garland, he just puts it aside. Okay, there's a dead snake, he just puts it aside. But then his son takes offense. And his son actually curses this king that you will die within 7 days, right? So he's going to die in 7 days. So now Parikshit is thinking, what is the best thing that I can do in these 7 days? So he asks two questions. What's the duty of people in general? And what's the duty of a person who's about to die? And many, many saintly persons give many, many answers. But then Sukadeva Goswami enters into the assembly and he starts speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam and he says that this is the scripture you can hear and this will answer all the questions about what is the duty of a person who is about to die and what is also the duty of everyone in general. And maybe I should skip this, but later also Suta Goswami spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to some sages. These sages, they knew about this Kali Yuga. The Kali Yuga is the age that we are living in where people don't have very wonderful qualities sometimes, right? We're short-lived, you know, we're short-tempered, we're misguided, we're, you know, sometimes spiritually lazy, materially maybe very active, but spiritually lazy and so on. So they wanted to do some good for the people of this age. So they wanted, they decided to do this 1,000-year sacrifice for the benefit of people in this age. But then Suta Goswami comes, and then he starts speaking the Bhagavatam. And once they start hearing the Bhagavatam, they realize that the sacrifice that they were doing, actually that's, you know, no good. They lose all taste for that. And they say that, you know, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the best thing. We just want to keep hearing. And they say that until now, by doing all these sacrifices, all that was happening is that our faces were getting black with the smoke, but we were not deriving any more benefit than that, right? So, well, quickly, just what is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam? Please advance. So this Srimad Bhagavatam actually speaks about the highest truth. It doesn't, it's reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all, and such truth actually uproots all the threefold miseries. We're gonna just run through some of these slides now because of time. But this Bhagavatam, like I already said before, is the mature fruit of all the Vedic literatures. So the Vedic literatures themselves, they're considered to be like desire trees. Anything that you want, you can get from there. But the real, you know, purpose of a tree is the fruit that the tree gives, you know. So this Bhagavatam is actually the mature fruit of all the Vedic literatures. I'm going to skip the next slide. And just, can you just keep advancing? I'm going to skip a few slides. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is even glorified by all the other Puranas. It is said that in Kali Yuga, or this age, some of these Puranas say that what's the value of collecting hundreds of thousands of other scriptures if one does not keep a Srimad Bhagavatam at home, right? So this is the value. Just as Ganga, Ganges River, is the greatest of all rivers, right? So similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam is described to be the greatest of all the different Puranas. Next. Okay. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is also considered to be Krishna himself, that the different parts of the Srimad Bhagavatam are actually like the different limbs of Srimad Bhagavatam itself. So really, getting a Srimad Bhagavatam to your home, it's like bringing the Lord to your home. Okay? So very quickly, a few more minutes we'll take. We'll talk about just the benefits of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, it has all that any good book has and more. When you're looking at a good book, what are you looking for? Can you all tell me some things that you look for in a good book?
Good pictures,
okay. What else?
Plot
twists. Huh?
Plot twists.
Okay. What else? Could you speak up?
I'm sorry.
Happy ending, okay. I'm a little hard of hearing today.
Learning
something, okay.
It should improve us.
Wisdom. What else? You all are such saintly souls here. You just want just the good stuff. What else are you looking for in a good book?
Purification, transformation, satisfaction.
Okay, wow. Okay. That's quite amazing. What else?
It should be something you get excited about.
Trauma. Healing from trauma?
Drama.
Okay. Okay, healing from trauma too. All right, drama.
Maybe independent of the solution to some problems.
Solution to problems. Okay.
Love story.
Very good. Now I'm getting some real answers. What else? Huh?
Emotion?
Okay. It should stir our emotions. Okay.
How to deal with challenges.
Okay, what else?
True to life story.
Okay, true to life story.
Adventure.
Okay, very good. I think we got some good answers. So Srimad Bhagavatam actually encompasses all of that adventure, intrigue, struggle, romance, drama, valor, mystery, knowledge, humor, beauty, enlightenment, healing, nourishment, devotion, and self-realization, God-realization, ultimately, right? So somebody was saying, Pran Govinda Prabhu was saying, purification of heart. Next slide, please. So anybody who faithfully hears or induces others to hear even one verse or half a verse or a phrase or even a word for some time or even a moment without deviation is capable of purifying oneself. So this is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. And how does it purify us? When we start hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, next slide. When we start hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna, who's actually within all of our hearts, right? He starts cleaning our hearts. He just cleans our hearts from all the dirty things within our heart, all the unwanted things in our heart, all those things that don't cause our love for the Lord to blossom. He removes all of those things. And by regularly attending or just reading Srimad Bhagavatam, everything that is troublesome to our heart is actually removed completely. And Krishna, or the Supreme Lord, becomes established in our heart. And He's established in our heart irrevocably. And He becomes situated within our heart. He manifests in our heart. Next. We finished that. Okay, no, the one slide back. Okay, so Srimad Bhagavatam can also heal our heart completely. So somewhere I heard trauma, but actually it can heal our heart completely from all trauma. So actually any kind of psychological condition that we're dealing with, Srimad Bhagavatam can completely address that. Okay, that's fine, don't worry. We'll just keep going forward. Srimad Bhagavatam actually brings all auspiciousness and good fortune into our heart. Just like a magnet attracts iron, Bhagavatam can attract all good fortune into our lives. And like I said before, Srimad Bhagavatam is like Krishna himself. So it's like bringing a deity of Lord Krishna to your home. And it's said that just by keeping Bhagavatam at your home, right? Even you don't read it, you just dust the bookshelf, you just clean the, you know, books, or even you don't do that, just keep Bhagavatam at your home. It can actually bring so much good fortune. It can bring so much spiritual benefit to yourself. So potent. But of course, we don't want to just leave them on the shelf like that. It's also good to pick them up and read. And having Srimad Bhagavatam in your house is like having Krishna in your home, and also all the wonderful personalities, saintly personalities that are in the Bhagavatam in your home. So they're always staying like your guests, and you can always consult them whenever you want. You can offer prayers to them and they'll become present in your life and they will answer your questions. In fact, Srimad Bhagavatam, having Srimad Bhagavatam in your home, it's like having the whole spiritual world even. Bhagavatam is non-different from the spiritual world. So your whole home even becomes like a holy place of pilgrimage. And even children, they benefit tremendously. Here's a baby trying to read Bhagavatam too. But, you know, we want to give good values to our children. Strong moral values, but by reading Bhagavatam, you know, these moral values actually become so deeply situated within the children. Children love to hear the stories from the Bhagavatam. Keep advancing the slides, please. And there's so many beautiful verses in the Bhagavatam. When you memorize these verses, they can save us from dangerous situations. Here's a picture of an elephant. In a previous life, he actually memorized some verses. And here you can see he's being chomped, his leg is being chomped by a crocodile. And he just remembered these verses from his past life and he started reciting these verses. And you know, the Supreme Lord comes to save him. You can see on the top, there's a little airplane-like thing. There's a bird who's carrying, you know, Krishna. And he comes to save this elephant who's being chomped. So anyway, it's so hard to stop. There's unlimited glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Here is a beautiful story I wanted to tell. I don't know how much longer I should go. Maybe just another 5 minutes, not too much longer than that. But here is one temple in Vrindavan. And there was one person, one saintly person there, who would read Srimad Bhagavatam every day to this deity of Lord Krishna. And, you know, even if there was no audience or anything, every day he would read Srimad Bhagavatam. And then one day, Krishna comes in front of him, this form of the Lord. Krishna comes in front of him and he asks him, you know, why do you keep reading the same pastime, the same section from the Bhagavatam again and again? He asked the saint. And the saint says, I don't know. You know, somehow the bookmark keeps coming back to the same position again and again. Maybe you're doing it. So the next day, the bookmark actually moves. It moves to another page. So then he starts reading from there. And then at some point, the man just got stuck. He just couldn't continue for some reason. And Krishna personally comes, this form of the Lord personally comes and actually completes the verse that he was reading. So, and he says to him that you have read Srimad Bhagavatam for so long for me, for so many years, how can I forget you? So, you know, you got stuck and I've come here, you know, just to complete the verses for you. Anyway, I have more stories, but we don't have time to tell all the stories. But this is, the next picture is Prabhupada reading Bhagavatam. But, you know, there's a couple in South India, very old couple, 82 years old, something like that. They were reading, they used to live in an old age home. And their daily schedule was every morning they would get up at 5 a.m., do all their morning things, and then from 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock, they would just read Srimad Bhagavatam. And they read the Srimad Bhagavatam something like 500 times. And they memorized literally all the 18,000 verses within the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then in the evening again, they would spend 2 or 3 hours sharing the message of the Bhagavatam with others. And so they say that, you know, we don't know when death will come, but we're completely prepared. We just feel ourselves held by the Lord just by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this work is appreciated not only just by devotees, but by scholars around the world. Here's just a few quotes from scholars around the world. This is a work to be treasured. No one of whatever faith or philosophical persuasion who reads these books with an open mind can fail to be both moved and impressed. So this is Dr. Gary Gillard from Oxford University. This is the next slide, please. This is a very, very renowned Sanskritist, also from Oxford Center of Hindu Studies. And remember, I was telling you about one scholar within our movement who did a whole PhD with one section of one book based on Bhagavatam. He used to work with him. And he's such a renowned Sanskritist. And he told this other scholar that, you know, it's not an exaggeration or it's not like I'm being proud when I say that I've studied all the Sanskrit literatures. But I'm just now starting to go deeper into Srimad Bhagavatam. And I can tell you that out of all my studies, I've never read a book like Srimad Bhagavatam. Superlative in every way. So there's more quotes, but we're just going to skip those few more quotes from other professors, you know, around the world who appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam very, very deeply. We'll come to our last slide for today. Thank you so much for patiently sitting and hearing. But before the class began, Mother Mukhya, she was talking about a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. That if on the full moon day of the month of Bhadra, one places Srimad Bhagavatam on a golden throne and gives it as a gift, he will attain the supreme transcendental destination. So just giving it as a gift, right? You can attain the supreme transcendental destination. So this Bhadra Purnima, Purnima means full moon. So this day, Bhadra is a special month. And this Bhadra Purnima day is September 29th this year. And we're also in a very auspicious month right now named Purushottam month. Very, very auspicious. It's considered to be the most auspicious of all months. And like she was making the announcement, you can commit to buying the Srimad Bhagavatam this month, and then on Bhadra Purnima day, you can actually gift it to someone that you love. A husband can gift to wife, a wife can gift to a husband. You know, this can sound a little bit like a sales pitch, but honestly, you know, I don't have any personal benefit to gain from this other than maybe the blessings of the Lord. So we want really, Srila Prabhupada wanted every respectable person to have a Srimad Bhagavatam at their home. And you can see why he wanted to have everyone to have a Srimad Bhagavatam at their home for reasons that we've discussed, right? So because we want everyone to have this Bhagavatam so badly, we're just going to give it away at cost price. You know, the temple is not even going to make any margin of profit. So it's just $210. And there's some devotees, Lileshwari sitting there, and Rohini Nandan over here. You can, you know, please give your names for buying a set of Srimad Bhagavatam to them. And you can get more than one set also. There's unlimited opportunities actually to share this message with others, with family, friends, colleagues, acquaintances, doctors, therapists, you know, fitness trainers. You know, there's so many possibilities. If you just have a will, there's a way, right? And if you can't share it with others by yourself, you can also sponsor it, and the temple will distribute it on your behalf. And we place these Bhagavatams in prisons sometimes. There's so many prison, you know, people in the prison who love to receive this Bhagavatam. We also have an Indian tribal care trust where we send Bhagavatams to. We can also ship this Bhagavatam to anywhere in US and many other countries too, like India, Japan, Ukraine, Latin America, Argentina, Mexico, Chile, Venezuela, Peru, Uruguay, and so on. So many countries. So you can also send to your loved ones in these other countries. You can also sponsor, if you cannot afford a whole set, also two to four of you can come together and sponsor a set. So, however, but somehow, please, you know, come forward and spread this message of Srimad Bhagavatam, because it's really a treasure of transcendental wisdom. Thank you all so much for patiently hearing. I know we went over time. I apologize, but it was really hard to just cut short things too much. Even then, I cut short so much. I don't think there's time for questions. Is there time? One question, two questions? That's okay? Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you. That was nice, speaking about the Bhagavatam, telling in summary, you know, how the story came to be told. I didn't catch how the sages at Naimisharanya fit into the story. I think you were saying that, you know, after Sukadev heard from his father's disciples wanting to get him to come back, he liked the verses so much and he went back and he heard Vyasa speak the whole Bhagavatam. Then what, he left and he just came upon the sages?
So Sukadev Goswami came back, Vyasadev spoke the whole Bhagavatam to him. And then later, Sukadev Goswami spoke the whole Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit. And when Sukadev Goswami was speaking the Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, also Suta Goswami was present in that assembly and he heard the whole Bhagavatam from him. Okay? And then he spoke it again to the sages of Naimisharanya.
So you are saying that Sukadev did go to Naimisharanya?
No, it's not Sukadev, Suta Goswami.
Right,
okay. Suta heard from Sukadev Goswami and then he spoke.
I thought you had said that Sukadev went to Naimisharanya.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
How did Vyasadeva write about Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Parikshit and Suta Goswami speaking to the sages, which he taught, I guess, he taught the Bhagavatam to Shukadeva before Shukadeva spoke to Parikshit. So how did it go?
Yeah, like Vyasadeva has this ability to see the past, present and future. So therefore, and Vyasadeva is still alive, actually. He resides in this region of the Himalayas named Badrika Ashram, and he's still alive, but we can't see him with our present eyes. So he has this benediction that he can see the past, present and future. Okay, so thank you all so much for your patiently hearing. Hare Krishna.